Merry Christmas to everybody. God bless you. So glad you're here joining us today on this Christmas Eve day. Before we go into the message, I want to say a just personal thank you to all of you. You blessed June and I so much last week with gifts and cards and love and kindness, and we love you very much. I mentioned it last week in the budget meeting discussion how grateful we are for your generosity and your heartbeat. But let me just say, I know a lot of churches, I serve a lot of churches and pastors there. I am so grateful for the faithful kindness and generosity of you people. God bless you for that. Just a reminder that we do also have a Christmas Eve candlelight service. It's guaranteed only 1 hour. I know many of you have family obligations tonight. That's why we start it at 5 o'clock. And so it'll be over by 6. Now, after that, there'll be a cookie exchange, cookie platters back there. You can stick around and enjoy some cookies and stuff of that nature. But we'd like to welcome you tonight at 5. If you're able to make it, if your family is able to come away, it'll be a beautiful time, our special candlelighting service. Also, in the back, you'll note that if you are a member, they're voting today and next Sunday on the budget and the annual reports that we presented 2 weeks ago and discussed last week. Let's go into this message, shall we? Today's message is coming out of Luke chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. We'll also read verse 13 or 14, and really we've almost already read them because these songs that we sang speak to the passage itself. We are looking at the angel's candle. Today we're talking about peace for your life. We've talked about hope for your life, love for your life, and joy for your life. And trying to dial into what each of those things are and what God meant by them and how he offers them to you and how you may access them. And today we're talking about peace. Peace in spite of fear. Peace instead of fear. And really this is the progression that we go through in our life of dealing with fear. But let's take a look at the passage, shall we? And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Obviously, they were afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased." Now you may have a different translation, and they're all beautiful, and they're all fair reckonings of what the intent is. That God has come as a Savior, as Lord, as the Messiah, and we're to sing glory to him, because he wants to offer peace into your life. This last year, when my mother passed away and we went to visit and share, I sat with my brothers and had a wonderful time. And then later on, we went to the Oregon coast and had a lot of memories. And they brought one up that was quite funny. And that was that when I was a child, and actually my brother Chuck apologized to me, 10 years my senior, my brother Bob, 13 years my senior. And they thought it would be funny to scare their little 4-year-old brother. And they did. In our home, my bedroom was upstairs, and you'd go through some swinging, kind of open doors, going halfway up the stairs. That's the way it was modeled, and you open these doors, continue up the stairs and around to my bedroom. Well, I would go up to bed, and it was, "Go up to bed, Davy." And so I started heading up, and I opened these doors, and they had a hanging man right there. Scared me so much that I could not go upstairs. Now, they apologized profusely at the age of 72. Thank you, brothers. God bless you for that. It only took you a few decades, so grateful. But I will say that most of my childhood, I liked to fall asleep on the couch in the living room because I did not want to go upstairs. That fear. Now, I was a church kid. I was raised in church. I was told that I could call on God. I could trust in God. So on those nights when I was told, "No, you're going to go to bed." This is when I was 12. "You're going to go to bed." Walk upstairs, and I'd go upstairs. And there would be fear that would overcome me at night. And I would pull the covers over my head, and I'd be very afraid. But the words of my mother, the words of the pastors, the words of those individuals who were godly people, spoken to me that I could call out on the name of Jesus. And so I did so. under my blankets, I would say, Jesus, be with me. Jesus, help me. And the fear would subside. That's a true story. Childhood fear is one thing, but you know, as we grow older, there are larger fears. Maybe not so large that they would oppose the feelings of a young child, but we know the reality of things that can truly bring fear. Many years ago, the accident on a hill, Pocatello, Idaho, and my daughter was in a sledding accident, and she was in my arms, dead. The Lord brought her back to me, and my son, who was with me, was a champion and made his way up through the darkness, trying to find the house to let people know what had happened. Through a series of miracles, the Lord took us to the right place with the right team on the right night, a team that should not have been there on that, I guess it was a Christmas Eve or a New Year's Eve. I can't remember which one it was. It was December 30th, I imagine it was, yeah. But they were there. They were doing all their books. There's a master physician, a brain surgeon who went out of Chicago, one of the greatest in his field, and he wanted to serve lesser communities. He happened to be at that hospital. And through miracles, the Lord brought her back. But I remember in the car, driving and just calling out to Jesus. Was I afraid? Yeah, I was afraid. Was my son afraid? I'm sure, yeah, he was afraid. Were we all afraid? Absolutely, we were afraid. But when you're afraid, where do you turn? I mean, where do you go? You go to Jesus. It wasn't but 6 years ago. It was on a Christmas weekend. My friend from college would come up every year and would dress up like Santas and would go downtown and would go and do a little walkabout and a Santa crawl and just have a little fun and just enjoy time. The night before, we were gathering together and just sitting together, and we'd gone to a local place to get a bite to eat. While I was there to pay the bill, I went down with an AFib. My heart stopped. There was a gal there, Annalie. We celebrate Annalie all the time. I contact her on her birthday. I contact her on my birthday. I contact her at Christmas to say thank you because this nurse brought me back. But there was a fearful time when I recall being in the ambulance going up and the family meeting me there and them having to try to restart my heart. And again, a miracle. A second before they had to do it, my heart regulated. Praise the Lord for that. I bring these up because you are not, and I am not, immune to the circumstances in life that can bring you fear. All men and women and children face fear. At every stage in life, there's a new card dealt to you that says, oh, here's a new thing you can be afraid of. Whether it's something that's transpiring to you, upon someone you love, fear can take root. What's God's message to us? I want to share with you today, and it's in the bulletin notes there, that the first thing he says is, fear not. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for that word. I hate it when people do that. I'm not feeling very good. We'll get better. I'm kind of feeling down. We'll straighten up. I hate that. I'm feeling afraid. Well, fear not. Well, if I could do it within myself, I would have done it a long time ago. So stop telling me to do something that I cannot do. I don't know how to do it. I'm in it. Seems kind of rude. But if heaven is calling out and saying these words, fear not, I might want to listen. If you look at the Christmas narrative and you read it, Zechariah, when he's having to deal with the idea of what might come with the birth of his son, the angel says, fear not. Joseph, when he is compelled with an information that his beloved betrothed wife is now pregnant, and not by him, but it's of God, he is said by the angel, fear not, Joseph. To Mary, when the message was given, you, dear, favored girl, are blessed by God. The angel said, fear not. And again, to these shepherds, who will be the first witnesses of the beautiful Christ child, they were told, fear not. This story of his arrival is all about not being afraid. And I can go through lots of passages. And you note I've given you references to, 16, 20. You can go through the Psalms and find another 100. They're all throughout the Scriptures. This message of fear not. To Abram, to Hagar, Isaac, Joseph, Moses, Gideon, Elijah, Hezekiah, Job, David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel. To the nation of Israel multiple times. To his disciples multiple times. To his believers multiple times. To you and I all the time. Fear not. Wow, thank you. There's something to it. I want to grab a hold of it. What does that mean? Well, fear is going to come. Fear of the unknown, fear of consequences, fear of circumstances. Plato once said, we can easily forgive a child who's afraid of the dark. But the real tragedy of life is when men are afraid of the light. Sometimes we get lost in our fear, lost in our struggle, and we don't even want to see the light because the light will expose some things. Lack of trust. Lack of purpose. We get caught in this little trap of consistent fear of what the next thing might be, or will it be perfect in this, or what others will think, and the heavens are crying out, fear not. Charles Stanley says that fear stifles our thinking. It stifles our actions. It creates indecisiveness that results in stagnation. He says, I've known talented people who procrastinate indefinitely rather than risk failure. It's lost opportunities, and they cause erosion of confidence, and a downward spiral begins. You may be in that spiral right now. And so the heavens are crying to your heart, fear not. God speaks endlessly to his children to not live in a state of fear. We cannot cease experiencing the unknown. We cannot avoid consequences. We cannot circumvent life's circumstances. But we can go through them without fear, or God is a liar. And I'm telling you, he's not. So, thank you. Tell me not to be afraid. Well, tell me how. How do I not be afraid? Psalm 56, 3, 4 says, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? It's taking my eyes off of the temporal, off the flesh, off this world, and looking up to the heavens. My trust is in you. 2 Timothy Chapter 1 says, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. He places in us a power of love that conquers and dispels fear. I'm reminded of a story of the children's book writer Robert Louis Stevenson, that when he was a child, he had accidentally locked himself into a room and he couldn't get out. Well, as the night came and the darkness came on, he was in absolute darkness and he was terror-stricken. Well, his father called a locksmith to come, and it would take a long time for the locksmith to come by sending message, waiting for him to come. And all the time while he was in this room, he talked to his son through the keyhole. And hearing his dad's soothing voice, Robert Louis Stevenson would say, that soothing conversation helped him know that his daddy was there, and that was all that young boy needed. You might need to understand that your Heavenly Father is speaking to you calmly through a locked keyhole in your life, that you have barricaded yourself into some fear, And he is trying to soothe you and let you know that you're not alone, that you'll never be alone. And you have the ability in him to triumph over that fear. So, how do we stop being afraid? With these verses in mind, I think about that through God's power. Through God's power, we can confront fear. There are times when God nudges us to confront our fears because he wants to assist us in overcoming them, that you might learn that he is trustworthy to help you through your struggles. He really desires for you to have the ability to conquer what lies within and conquer what might come from without. Remember, he resembles the dad, and I remember doing this with my kids, doing it in this last summer with my grandson at a pool, and they're standing on the edge, and I'm saying, jump, jump, and they're just tentative, they don't know what's going on, but you can see in their eyes the moment when they recognize, Pop-Pop's got me, Dad's got me, and they leap. Now my son, he would leap no matter what, and I wasn't ready, so that was always trouble, but I'd have him. There's no fear. Dad's got you. There's no chance that father's going to let his child go to harm. God's not going to let you go to harm if you put your trust in him. So his power is sufficient for you. The second thing here in Timothy, it talks about that through God's love we can cast out fear. Love casting out fear. Well, 1 John says there's no fear in love. That perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. You may not have heard that voice, that verse in a long time. It's worthy of looking at again. Listen to the order of it. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. And listen to this. Fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. When you are with God, when you're trusting in God, you're not dealing with punishment. If you don't want to go through something, you're afraid of the consequences of doing poorly. Someone's judgment, your own judgment against yourself. It's all about punishment. And then you punish yourself and hide away. But God's love is present in there, and it says his perfected love. That means you can't do something wrong enough that he's going to despise you. You could never earn his favor. You can never lose his favor. None of that brings about salvation. You'll never be good enough to be saved. You can never live a good enough life to enter into heaven. It doesn't work that way. Truth is, you can't live a bad enough life to exit heaven. It's God who saves you by your faith in him and his grace bestowed upon you. Now, when you give your heart to God, the Holy Spirit dwells within, and you are a new creation. You are transformed. Now, you might be right now in a backslidden state. You may very well be a prodigal right now, but let me tell you, if the Holy Spirit is in you, the Holy Spirit is in you. And he will be nudging you. And if you hear him say, let's come along, let's stop doing that, we can work through this. If you're convicted at all, let me tell you, you're backslidden, not lost. The prodigal always hears the Father's voice, even while they're doing wrong things. But perfected love shapes us as we grow closer to him. And in that perfection, we don't see punishment, we see embrace. There's no need to be afraid. He holds a profound love for us. Romans 8 says, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. I look at Philippians chapter 1, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus, Christ will turn out for my deliverance. Through the prayers, the Spirit moves in us, that Spirit that is within us, will turn out my deliverance. Why should I be afraid? Paul confidently asserts that God is trustworthy, that peace is found there. Finally, on this point of fearing, how do we not be afraid? Through his love and through his power. But listen, through God's desire, He's given us a sound mind. That sound mind is to contain fear. Fear is operating in your head. And from your head, it's ruling your nerves and your actions and your feelings and your emotions. And it's overwhelming. It takes over you. But God says, I'm giving you a sound mind. But where is your mind? We are to have our mind on Christ. And when we're looking to Him and abiding in Him, He gives us strength in all things. There's an aged Bible, I think it's in the Smithsonian now, large, owned by Abraham Lincoln. And he had this during the pivotal time of the Civil War. And if you open this Bible, if you know anybody that reads a Bible, you can open a Bible and almost fall in the same spot all the time because there are favorite times and favorite passages. And you could open this Bible and it's likely to fall into Psalm 34. Abraham Lincoln's one of his favorite passages. And there's time of darkness. Here's the verse that Abraham Lincoln would go to. I sought the Lord and He answered me and He delivered me from all my fears. The war didn't go away. The massive loss of life didn't go away. The animosity of those who lost revenue over slavery didn't go away. Maybe still hasn't gone away in some people's lives. But Abraham Lincoln knew where to turn. He sought the Lord. So you're delivered from fears. Delivered to what? If you're delivered from something, you're delivered to something. Now, I bought my wife a Christmas present. And normally I do some shopping. This year she's done it all. I'm overwhelmed by it. Normally I do a lot. But I'm usually the guy that goes out there and tackles the mall. You know, let's go. I'm going to go get my list, and I got my list of who's getting what, and I'm on a. It's a lot of fun. Well, this year I tried something new, which June often does, and that's buy stuff online. I can tell you right now I am not adept. I am not good at it. I'm not experienced at it. So I tried this, and I bought her a gift. And I had bought a gift last year for someone and sent that. And as I went through this process, I figured it out and this, and okay, I'm going to get the card in there and all this. Yeah, shipping address, credit card address is the same. I thought, all good. Perfect. Buy it. Shows up on my bank account. Yep. You spent the money. Got a tracking of it. Hey, guess what? Your delivery's going. Fantastic. Can't wait. It's going to get here before Christmas. Hey, your delivery came. It came? I didn't see it. So what's going on here? I look at it, and I look deeper in there, and I had sent her gift to a place my daughter lived 6 years ago. So June's gift is sitting in Aspen, Colorado right now. It was the delivery from went really, really well. Company did a great job. The delivery to, not so well. If God's going to deliver you from fear, what do you think He's going to deliver you to? Well, peace. Peace. What a word. To receive peace. To walk in peace. Well, if you have anxiety, don't you long for peace? If you're dealing with terror in your life at all times, don't you just long for peace? Maybe you forgot how it even felt. Psalm 29:11 says, may the Lord give strength to His people. May the Lord bless His people with peace. Strength, a blessing, if this peace is genuinely within our reach, then I'd like to know how to attain it. You've given me some ideas in power and love and a sound mind to wrestle and to go a battle with this fear and trusting in the Lord in that manner. But to walk into peace, what does that look like? What's the pathway? Calvin Coolidge said, Christmas is not a time or a season. It's really a state of mind to cherish peace and goodwill. To be plenteous in mercy and to have the real spirit of Christmas. It's not a day. It's not the tree. It's not the package. It's not the family coming over. It's not the work you're putting out toward that ham, turkey, or whatever meal you're going to prepare. It's really the peace and goodwill. John 6 says this, and these are Jesus' words, I have said these things to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world. I love that. He's not selling you a false bill of goods. He's not saying all things are going to go well. In fact, we know just the truth of it, is that we all have afflictions and tribulations, and they are there for our perfection, and they will come, and we're to count it all joy when we face these things, because we grow in our nature in becoming more like Christ. And he says this, in me you may have peace. Wow. So that I'm walking with him and I'm living for him. And when I give my life to him, he puts the Spirit in me. And the Spirit does what? It grows fruit. Love. Joy. Peace. The Spirit's going to bring it up for you. It's going to create it for you because you're walking with Christ. You're trusting the Lord. This is the primary way. It's the most crucial way to receive peace. Trust in God. Isaiah says it like this, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. Long time ago, somewhere along the way, you got on shaky ground with trusting God. He let you down somehow, and somebody saying something to you that really made you feel bad, witnessing something in a church of people acting like sinners, whatever it might be, some distant judgment of what Christianity ought to be and what it isn't, and I agree. But we're not following a religion of Christianity, we're walking with Christ. And in our imperfection, we look to him for forgiveness. And so whatever barrier you have that has taken the ground away from you, the foundation of trusting in God, I pray today that you'll find that foundation again. Because he'll keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him. If you trust in him. C.S. Lewis said it like this, God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from himself because it's not there. There's no such thing. Outside of him, you cannot experience the peace that heaven offers. As you consistently focus your thoughts on Christ and you cultivate a strong connection with him, then you start building a trust because you witness that he is truth. You witness that he is life. You witness that his way is the way. And you have all these personal experiences with him, trustworthy. Maybe you have a friend like that. I hope you have a friend like that. If you called them, they have you. Those are cultivated. They don't just come around. Years and years of walking together. Probably 35 years of a friendship with Chase Crichton. Another 12 years with Ron Houston. If I needed anything, I could call those men and they would have me. I know I could call Tim Norgren. He'd have me. That doesn't just come. It comes when you're walking together. The primary way is to trust God. We trust Him how? How do we go into this relationship? How do we walk in this connection? Well, Scripture's clear. It's not going to be something super mystical out there that you have to do something weird. It's pretty basic. We walk in this connection with God through praise and prayer. What? Yeah, it's just as easy as that. You don't have to do some crazy thing. It's praising Him, giving Him thanks, and prayer. Communicating. What kind of relationship is going anywhere if you don't talk? If you're not having conversations, if you're not sharing experience, what is that? How can you trust someone you don't know and you don't know because you never talk? This connection comes through prayer. And prayer, you say, well, that's a spiritual word. Prayer is just communication, talking with God, hearing from Him, speaking back, dialoguing, letting His Word speak into your heart, questioning things, allowing Him to offer peace. It's a relationship. And prayer and praise are directly tied to having peace. You're not going to have peace unless you're in conversation with God. Forget it. You will never know peace unless you offer thanksgiving and praise to God. Forget it. I'm giving you a nugget here. It's really easy. You can do it if you do it. Consider Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do you see the link? Do you see the link? With prayer and thanksgiving, we get peace. J.I. Packer says the peace of God is first and foremost peace with God. How wonderful it would be to live a life without anxiety. And it's doable. That's precisely what God promises you and I. All throughout the Scripture. With the great gifts, you do not have to be afraid. Anxiety essentially is a synonym for fear, losing our grip. God wants to take that and replace it with peace. And it comes directly from Him because of our relationship. And here comes the last point, that we trust Him with relationship, in praise and in prayer. And I've alluded to it already, we are not about a religious system. You can buy books on the great five religions of the world. Judaism, Islam, Christianity, Hinduism, Buddhism, great isms. We are not about an ism. It is not an ism. It's a relationship that you walk with day in and day out, and there it is, walk with Jesus. Listen to His words in John chapter 14. Read earlier by Lady Esther from the piano, but I want you to hear it again. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. And not as the world gives do I give to you. Let your hearts not be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Oh, I pray this washes into your heart today. What some perceive as peace is not genuine peace. It's merely the absence of some visible conflict. I had a good day, didn't have to face anything. That's not what God's talking about. We all have a good day when you got nothing going, but when something's going, that's when you need the peace. And the world's peace doesn't give you any of that. You can't muster it up inside. Jesus gives it to you if you're walking with him. It doesn't go with our understanding. David Wilkerson once wrote, after much prayer and careful study and reliance on the Holy Spirit, I've concluded this about Christ's intercession for us. That Jesus died on the cross to purchase peace with God for me. He's in heaven now to maintain that peace for me and in me. Do you have inner peace? Have you confronted your fears? Have you dealt with the factors in your life that's hindering you to experience what the Lord wants for you, inner peace? Are there matters in your life that are holding you back from surrendering to God? Is it just the manner in which you have lived your Christian life, that the church is good, the sermons are good, read the Bible periodically? My prayer is routine, but maybe not praying at all. Maybe just going through a list of prayers of other needs, but in reality, beyond that, there's not a lot of intimacy going on between you and the Lord. So walking with Jesus is walking with the Savior, with a friend, day in and day out. It's not a hat you put on and off. It's not a jacket you wear and then take off. It's not a robe you don on Sundays. It's a relationship with Jesus. And in that relationship, when we're talking, when we're praying, when we're praising, when we're trusting, we get peace. Psalm 29 says, the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord bless his people with peace. I'm going to close this service out, and I'd ask you just to bow your head for a moment. Ask some questions. Please be honest. Ask your heart these questions as I read through them, please. Have you attempted entering into the joy that is offered, which brings peace? That means entering into him, his salvation. Have you sought the Lord and experienced his deliverance? Have you known the peace that can only come from the Lord? If you haven't, I know that you can. I'm not talking about some external doctrine. I'm talking from personal experience. The peace of God can rule in your heart in the midst of the fear you may face. I know it. Well, I know it for me. Right here, and right now, within this gathering, someone right now is grappling with fear. Hear me out. Fear detrimentally impacts your well-being. It steals away your calm, strains your nervous system, fosters selfishness of going internally. It hinders you from stepping out on faith. And without faith, you cannot please God. Oh, my friend, do you desire today to overcome the fear? I who would say no? So I'm asking you to come to the Lord and come completely and come fully. And not just for this moment in time, but to go all in and say, Lord, I'm yours. And we will talk. We will walk. We will be together. We'll commune together. I give you praise. I'll give you prayer. Lord, help me in my mind to put on the mind of Christ, that I am not overridden by this. And fear is dissipated by your love and by your power. May this be the case in my heart, not just for today, but every day of my life, Lord God. And this is my prayer. Lord, speak deep into the core of every individual here as your Spirit stirs up in them what they long for and what you desire for them. And may there be a meeting today of God and man, through the Prince of Peace, who will tie us together to bring us in right relationship. And may we walk in that relationship day in and day out, rejoicing as the shepherds did with the word of the angels, declaring to all, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth to those whom His favor rests. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you on this Christmas Eve day. He'll tell you, if you've made a decision today, if there are prayer requests you'd like the pastor to pray for, the elders, please, in your bulletin, there's a little tear-off thing. Take a moment. Take a moment just to write something down. If you'd like us to contact you with a blessing, a thank you for coming, then please put your address down, email. We're not going to be soliciting anything from you, but we'd love to just say thank you for coming. So fill that out, and you can drop it off in the box in the back, along with your offering and tithes for those who are members. Those of you who are online, there's a way you can give there on your screen, and we thank you for your constant and faithful giving as well. Would you stand with me? As we go out today, I do ask that if you are available tonight at 5 o'clock, come again. It'll be a beautiful time. We have candles. We light them. It's dark. It's pretty special. It always is. We guarantee we'll be out in an hour. If you can't make it, God bless you today. Have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas. And if you can't make it, we'd love to have you here. As you go out there today, remember this, that in Christ, He has called us to be His ambassadors. We're called to reconcile men unto God. That's our ministry. So we're ambassadors. Be good ones.